Now tell me a bit about yourself. Where have you been?
I think we'd spent so much time focusing on the UK because it's still a pretty, it's not as big as, you know, as Germany. Germany's huge, but it's a pretty difficult territory to get around. And so I spent loads of time touring around there. I started off by myself at the piano, and then eventually we got the band together and it all kind of kicked off. So then after the release of the album, I was really, really eager to start in Europe. But it's quite strange for me because it's like starting from the ground up again. Because we've got to quite a good stage in England where a lot of people know who we are and the gigs are really busy and we get lots of radio and stuff. And then it's kind of like taking two steps back when you go to a different territory and people don't know who you are. But I'm really enjoying it. So I'm hoping after this run of shows to come back in January and do some more. Radio was always something I was a bit worried about with my stuff because a lot of it's quite somber and not that up-tempo. It's not a reflection of my personality at all. So I find it quite... When people first meet me in interviews, they expect me to be very brooding. And kind of sat there with a black coffee and be very miserable, but you probably get the opposite. I'm sat here with you ordering a hot chocolate with whipped cream.
So where does that darkness come from then? I mean, what it's all about you, like, having a tough time, like, asking yourself why you're loving someone and why the hell do you still think of him?
I guess I was at art school very briefly when I was younger. And even when I was painting and stuff, I was still painting kind of dark, morbid subjects there. I don't know, there was a really cool quote by a guy called Philip Larkin, a really great poet.
I love Philip Larkin.
Yeah, he's awesome, eh?
When you are in the right mood, it's just amazing.
Mm. And I think people had maybe asked him a similar question in that why he writes things of such a kind of dark subjects and what have you. And he had said, deprivation is to me what daffodils were to Wordsworth. And I can totally relate to that because I'm not inspired by beautiful landscapes or happy scenes. I'm kind of just like inspired by like injustice and kind of the darker side of things, really. So maybe that's why.
Did you write from your personal experience or from stuff that you see? Because you're not unhappy all the time, are you? It's like you're not sitting there thinking, okay, now it's time to be miserable.
You know, just like any artist, I suppose, there's lots of things, and whether you're an author or not, and people will say, no, it's not autobiographical, but there'll be aspects of their personality in there, I'm sure. And there's a bit of that with mine. A lot of the album, this is really morbid now, a lot of the album's inspired by two of my very close friends who commit suicide. They both suffered from mental illness. Really, really clever, beautiful boys. But so I write a lot about mental health issues. So that's probably the darkest side of the album's inspired by that. But I just felt it was very, very important to talk about those kind of things.
I think it's a really interesting subject, but why mental health issues?
The reason I wanted to write about them was because when my friends died, you know, there was this horrible realisation after they'd passed away with, you know, me and the rest of our friends. And it was our wondering, if we had known more about their illnesses, could we have helped? And we can't say whether we could have or whether we couldn't have, you know, we'll never know. But it's the social stigmas that are attached towards people suffering with mental illness, which was the thing that I'm really kind of working with a few mental health charities at the moment. There's already huge campaigns going on, but if we can play a tiny, tiny part in that, that's kind of that's good enough for me, really. But yeah, the most difficult thing about it is that it's not a broken limb. It's not like an open wound. You can't see it because it's in your mind and it's abstract. So, it's only recently where we're calling like psychiatric units. We've just recently stopped calling them. Not too recently, but relatively stopped calling them insane asylums. The stigma attached to that in itself was just terrible. I think scientifically that people are making very, very, very rapid advances in comparison to where we were 20 years ago. We've come on leaps and bounds. So I think in 10 years' time, it's going to be a really exciting time, hopefully.
Now, my favourite song on the album is Floating. Where did the idea to the song come from? Because I love the way you use your voice, because it's more used like an instrument. You've got these amazing lyrics about embracing darkness almost. Where did that come from?
That one is completely inspired by a poem by Philip Larkin called Days. And in his poem Days, well, in my interpretation, he's talking about kind of about the outsider, and it seemed like it was a person suffering from a mental health illness, because in his last stanza he writes, where else can we live but days? Ah, solving that question brings the priest and the doctor in their long white coats running over the fields. So, you know, if you don't live within this structure of a day, you know, you don't conform to normality, essentially, you're gonna have, you know, religion and science questioning you and all this. So that's what the song's inspired by, and we reference it ever so slightly as well.
How did you actually come to music, and when did it all start?
About 10 years ago.
Wow.
I moved to London to be a jazz singer. Yeah, so I sang like Cole Porter songbook and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't write my own music. I didn't play an instrument. And I got kind of disheartened with it. I got a bit bored, I think. I wanted to be creative and make my own stuff. So I left, and then I decided to go to art school. And then I fell out of love with art school because there was too many rich kids there. Just kind of, I don't know. I think I was including myself as well. You know, a whole bunch of us privileged kids who luckily we had the choice to be artists. I didn't really like that. So I left. And then I eventually came back to music 4 years ago after the passing of one of my friends. I wrote a song for him. And then, and then I kind of got a few songs together and then met my now producer, Ben Hillier.
Oh, Ben Hillier, wow.
Yeah, he's a good un. He's a good un. And he plays drums in the band now as well, which is
does
bizarre.
He? Well, that's really bizarre.
It is a bit strange, especially when we turn up to venues and the sound guy, they'll be like, hang on, is that Ben Hillier? Because lots of the sound guys, they've studied his work at college and what have you as well, so...
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. So that's kind of how me and Ben, that's how we met. We've been working together since, so the past 4 years, it was like writing and then eventually 2 years ago, recording the album and finished it, and it was released this year. So yeah. And then
any new stuff on the way already?
Yeah, there is. We've been playing one of the new songs live, testing it out, and I think it's gone down pretty well. So I think January, we're dedicating to writing and recording. My father's Pakistani.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. That's where we get the Shah, S-H-A-H.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My father's Pakistani. So my mother is English-Norwegian. So I grew up listening to a lot of his music. And a lot of it is kind of, you know, that's kind of sad. Do you know music like Abda Paveen and Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan?
Yeah.
So I listen to a lot of that, and I think maybe I've picked up a little bit of their technique, a tiny, 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 tiny bit. I'm not half as good as them, but I think maybe I've picked up some little techniques.
But very nice, because they suit that darkness very well, and it's not overdosed. You're really good at putting a tiny bit of it in there and kind of making it sound really special. If someone hasn't seen you live, what is it like?
I'm really, really happy with the live show. It took a long time to get it right. I think half the problem was we were really trying to imitate the record, just, you know, sonically, just identically, you know. And then we had to find the right players. So eventually we've gotten to a stage where we found all the right people to play. And we've really worked on a sound which works well live, you know, and I think it's maybe slightly bolder and more menacing sounding than on record. There's a real energy to it live. But we do portray both sides of the album, you know, the quieter parts. But it's the loud songs that are just so much fun to play. There's a real kind of electric kind of energy to them now. And you can see it in an audience. I mean, they're actually moving and stuff. I never thought we would be the type of band to get people dancing.
That's what I thought, like.
But, you know, there's about three or four songs that they tend to bust out a few little moves. So
wow.
Yeah, but it's I don't know. I'm really happy with the live show now.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.